So I'm going to read a scripture that I've used hundreds and hundreds of times in other messages. I don't know that I ever used it as a text, but Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing that comes from your hand. We honor you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I preach, I did want to share one story, and I just thought about it when I read the scripture. I had a really neat thing, and this is just a note. It actually flowed a little bit out of the fact that last December I got a phone call from Dale Wiggins and wanted me to come down to Katie's 40th birthday party, and said, Katie went with you on a mission trip and said it affected her life and said she just wanted you to come because you influenced her life. And I pulled up some old pictures that I found out that was in 2001. That was 19 years ago. You know, I think Meredith was on that trip too, and we had a great, great time. And I was thinking, great day, 19 years ago? I am old as dirt. But it really ministered to me. But I also had another thing happen last year where a young guy called me, and he's married now, went to Auburn University, graduated with an engineering degree, and he called me and he said, Brother Ron, he said, our pastor at our church told us we ought to thank the people in our life who have influenced us. And he said, you took me on my first mission trip when I was 15, and then you took me one on 16, and we skipped a year, and then you took me to Kenya, Africa to help build the Leroy Curtis Training Center. And he said, you took me with a church from Hattiesburg with Dwayne Higginson and said, I met a young girl named Danielle and said, we got married. You know, I should have charged more. I helped several people get married. I mean, Dale and them really, they kind of liked each other, but they solidified it on that trip. And so at 15, 16, and then 18, we went to Kenya. He said, we married, we got four kids. And he said, but you've influenced my life. He said, now I've led a team from our church to Nepal. And then about 6 months passed, and he called me again. He said, Brother Ron, he said, me and my wife want to be missionaries. I said, hallelujah. And so him and his wife, Danielle, moved to Davao City, the Philippines, with their four kids. Y'all relate to that? Or have been missionaries, and she is a midwife. The Philippines has 7,000 islands. And so instead of being able to go to the hospital, they have this Christian midwife ministry that goes to the islands and delivers babies, and they are influencing Muslims and all kind of different flavors of people and beliefs and touching them for the kingdom of God. They got stuck in the U.S. for a while, but they just got back to Davao City, and if the Lord will help us, I'm going there in September to be with them again and to minister to them. But I'm just telling you, when you sow the seed will bring forth fruit in its season. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that helped me if it didn't help y'all. I like it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the seeds that God has given to us. Okay, now back to my message. All right. That was just a little commercial. I felt like I wanted to say that earlier and forgot it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we understand that the church is not the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom. The church, I believe, is the conduit of the kingdom. I believe the church is here for the purpose of showing what the kingdom is to look like. I believe that we are representatives. We are here to be what God wants us to be. Kind of a word that God's been putting in my heart, and I can't share all of that today, but John was a man sent from God. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. I believe that every one of us are sent from God. We are sent with a purpose. I believe that we have an assignment from God. I don't believe we're here as tourists. I believe we're here with an assignment. And I believe that part of our assignment is to show forth the kingdom of God. Now, we all understand what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is more than just simply church on Sunday morning, all those things Brother Charles wrote years ago. The kingdom of Christ is His will instead of ours, His order instead of our chaos, His righteousness instead of our wickedness, His peace instead of our anxiety, His joy instead of our sorrow, His faith instead of our doubt, His health instead of our sickness. His provision instead of our poverty. His blessing instead of our curses. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. His kingdom is the purpose of our journey, the priority of our prayers, the basis of the Beatitudes, the subject of our search, the power behind miracles, the message of the church, a gift to be received and a prize to be taken. Woo! That's good stuff. And I believe that the kingdom of God is operating. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Now we think of the good news, the gospel being the birth and death and resurrection and coming back of Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I believe it's telling us that Jesus is not only Lord and Savior, but He's King. Hallelujah. The church is the vehicle God uses to bring kingdom life into our culture. We are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I want to tell you something, regardless of what you read and regardless of what you see and regardless of some of the words that are out there, I got good news for you. The church is still triumphant, alive, and well. Today, while we're sitting here, there's still about 286,000 people around the world that are finding Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and King of their life. There is revival taking place around the world. And I believe that if we sow into what's going on there, God will bring it here. Amen? I believe that we are a part of what God is doing. So I want to just talk to you about three areas that I believe that we are a church of the kingdom. We are a church of the kingdom. Kingdom characteristics are characteristics of a kingdom-driven church. Okay? What are the things that sometimes make us different? I believe that, first of all, I believe we're a church that worships. I believe that God created us to worship Him. In Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created." I believe that God created us as worship. Now, worship is not singing. Singing can be a part of that, but worship is an attitude of our heart. Worship is something that God expects us to do unto Him, to magnify Him, to adore Him. We were created to worship Him. The Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of man is to worship the Lord and to enjoy Him forever. Now, some people say the chief end of man is to worship the Lord and to endure Him forever. We are not here to endure God. We're actually here to enjoy God. I know that comes as a shock to some people. They think that serving God is just the worst thing in the whole world. I got news for them. They don't know the God that I serve. I don't know that it's listed in the scriptures, but I want to tell you, God is fun. You know? And I believe that God wants us to enjoy Him, enjoy His blessings, enjoy His creation. I went fishing yesterday and caught at least 4 bass over 5 pounds. I enjoyed His creation. I believe that God wants us to enjoy the benefits and blessings of God. I thank God for Dean leading us this morning, but I want to tell you something. I was worshiping the Lord before I came to the house of God. I don't believe we just have to have a worship leader. I believe there should be such a hunger in our lives. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. God wants us to be a people who desire to magnify. I want to praise God. I want to magnify Him. I want to worship Him with everything that is within me. We need a passion for His presence, a desire to know Him. There were songs that we've sung in years past. "Oh, I want to know You more. Deep within my heart, I want to know You." The song that said, "I'm desperate for You." How long has it been since you've been desperate for the presence of God? Desperate to have a touch from God? I want to tell you, during all this COVID mess, I've been desperate for the presence of God. I haven't been able to do those things, but I've still been able to worship Him. I've still been able to magnify Him. I don't believe that we're here to entertain the flesh. I believe we're here to crucify the flesh. Now, people don't put that on their refrigerators. I don't know why. That's not high on the list, you know, of scriptures. You know, "I am crucified with Christ." Crucify the flesh daily. Pick up your cross daily. I don't know. People don't want those on the refrigerator. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the real need of people is not to feel good about ourselves. There's something that's come into the body of Christ that everybody just wants to feel good about where I am, what I'm doing. I don't want, don't make me feel, you know, like condemned. Don't make me have any feelings that I need to do something different in my life. And so we want to feel good about ourselves. But I believe that there's truly need, what we truly need is to have an encounter with God and His Word that leaves us completely undone, ready to be converted to Christ and His righteousness and the power of His resurrection. I want to have such an encounter with God that I recognize that I can't live without Him. We used to sing a hymn that says, I surrender all. It got changed somewhere to I surrender some. You know, I'll give a little here and a little there, but I'm not going to give everything. Do you remember, and it's going to be tough for some of you because you're a little older now, but you know, do you remember when you gave everything to God? When we sold out to the Lord that everything I have, everything I am, everything I hope to be, I owe it all to Thee, O Lord. And yet today we let so many other things get before us. I talked about crucifixion. My mother wrote in the first Bible she ever gave to me, and it became a life verse, Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith. That's always, every time I say it, it's still which I now live. 5 years ago, it was what I now live. It's the now living out of what the Lord has done in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I believe that God wants us to live that way. There's a fact that the spiritual values of our age have infiltrated the church. We've allowed the church to become a reflection of society rather than a change agent in society. Worship is literally bowing down. It's a recognition of the awesomeness of God. Worship brings the manifested presence of God in our midst. People want an encounter, not a ritual. I want to tell you something. I know it's a little radical, but anybody that knows me, I've been radical before. I've been praying for the cloud of glory to come again. I've been praying for the cloud to come in, that we have to get to a place, Bill, where we have to take off our shoes because we're standing on holy ground. I don't want the same old, same old. I want something more. I want the glory cloud of God to saturate us. I believe it's impossible to worship God and to stay discouraged. Worship gives us victory over our enemies. Most of us are familiar with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat was fighting the enemy, and he sent out, God told him, send the praisers out. Now, it doesn't say this exactly in the scripture, but my interpretation of that, we're going to send out that sissy group of people, those people that sing on the platform. We want them to be the leaders. Are you kidding me? Listen, praise is powerful. Praise brings victory to us. And the Lord, I believe, gave me a prophetic word from that. That valley that they fought in had been known as the Valley of Battles. It had many battles fought in it over years. But when Jehoshaphat won the battle through praise, they renamed the valley, and they named it the Valley of Blessing. So the Valley of Battles became the Valley of Blessing. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, here's the word that God gave me. The place that you have warfare in is the place God wants you to inhabit and reign over. And we'll let that soak in a minute. The place that you have warfare in is the place God wants you to inhabit and reign over. One of our problems in the body of Christ has been a lot of times, as soon as we hit a battle, we want to go somewhere else, right? Take me to a place over here of rest. Take me to a place of ease. But it's in the valley of battles. It's the place that you're battling in is the place that God wants you to inhabit and to reign over. God doesn't want you to exit from that. God wants you to enter into it and receive what He has for you in the place of battle. And a lot of us want to exit, but God wants us to stay there. So I'm believing that even though the enemy tries to keep us from the place of our purpose and the place of greatest benefits, that with the help of God, we will overcome and we will be victorious. And I felt like some of you today, you're going through some valleys of battles. But if you'll stay where God wants you to stay and you'll do what God wants you to do, that valley of battles will become the valley of blessing. Amen? Second thing that I believe is a characteristic of a kingdom-driven church is a church that loves each other. I loved, during our time, seeing the love that's here. It's always been here, the love and care for one another. You know, I asked myself one day, why are there so many scriptures about unity? And then I thought, well, it could be because we need it. We have so much trouble in this area. We struggle sometimes with each other. We let things get between us that shouldn't be there. The prayer of Jesus was for us to be one. John 17:21, Father, make us one, even as you and I are one. But there's so many hindrances to unity. Jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness, stubbornness, envy, pride, rebellion, suspicion. Boy, the gift of suspicion works a lot, doesn't it? I wonder what they think. I don't know. Why do they do that? Suspicion. I don't know. But we let that interfere with us, and God doesn't want us to do that. Cynicism. We become cynical. You know, I don't think they really meant that. Well, why would you think that? You know, just take people, we get cynical about things rather than just accepting and loving one another. I know all of y'all have heard the story before, but no matter how many times I tell it, I still like it about the man that was on the island and he had been shipwrecked and he found himself on the island for years and years, and finally a ship came by and found him there on the island, and he was so excited, taking him around the island, and he had built three houses, and they looked at said, well, what's this house for? He says, well, that's where I live. He said, well, what's this other house? He said, well, that's the church I go to. He said, well, what's this other building? He said, well, that's the church I used to go to. Yeah? And the truth is sometimes, you know, we talk about getting along with each other. We can't even get along with ourselves. I mean, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And sometimes we struggle with things about being what God wants us to be. I pastored for 10 years in South Carolina, and I had a lady come to me one time, and she says, I'm leaving the church, Brother Ron. I said, why? She said, you know. I said, I don't know. She said, you know. I said, I don't know. She left the church. I still don't know. I mean, the truth is we get something in our crawl, and we separate from the very people that God connected us to, that God wants us to be a part of. We need to evaluate some of these things in our life and decide we're not going to let the enemy keep us from where God has joined us together. I believe that even though it's used for marriages, I really believe it's a spiritual concept. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I'm not going to let people separate me from the people that God has connected me to. I believe that it's a divine connection. I believe it's something that God puts together. So I believe that we need to get through with this. There's a spirit of divorce in the church. Satan wants to divide us. Judgmentalism, intolerance is keeping the church from our destiny. You know, there's a lot of scriptures I don't understand, but this was pretty clear. 1 John 2:9. Who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. I understand that one. I don't need a concordance. I understand that. It's pretty plain. And so we need to work on that area. The third thing that I believe that God wants as a characteristic of a kingdom-driven church is a church filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe we need more than ever the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. From the beginning to the end of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is involved. He's mentioned more than 90 times in the Old Testament with at least 18 different titles in the New Testament. He's mentioned more than 260 times with 39 different names and titles. Only 2nd and 3rd John have no reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, he's not an influence. He's a Him. Many believers consider the Spirit so impersonal, and they talk about Him as an it. I want to tell you, it's hard to have a relationship with an it. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe we need to give place for Him. He's revealed as a person, the third person of the Godhead. He has personal pronouns. He's spoken of as having personal qualities, a mind, a will, emotions. He has personal titles, comforter, advocate. He performs personal acts. He works. He searches. He speaks. The Bible tells us that he testifies. He bears witness. He teaches. He instructs. He reproves, prays. He makes intercession. He leads. He guides. He convicts. And he imparts spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. He's busy. Hallelujah. And he wants to do all of that all the time. But sometimes I think we just run right past where he is and what he wants to do for us. We're so busy doing other things, but we need to give place, I believe, to the power and the Holy Spirit. I believe we need to let him do what he does. I believe that he empowers us to be witnesses. He cultivates in us the fruit of a godly life. He gives us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He does that for us so that we can live peaceably among ourselves and do what he's called us to do. He guides us into truth. He's our seal or guarantee that we belong to God. He glorifies Jesus. And you know, after 46 years of preaching, and I preached on the Holy Spirit a lot of times, but all of a sudden I had an aha moment when I realized that the Holy Spirit, one of his titles is Paraclete. And the word Paraclete simply means one who walks along besides and helps. He's the helper. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what this will do for you, but I'm going to tell you, it revolutionized my prayer life. Because all of a sudden, I realized that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Now, I'm not going to take a survey this morning, but I'm just going to take a wild stab at the fact that some of y'all sitting here need some help in your life. Just a thought, you know, just a shot in the dark. But we need help. We need help with our kids. We need help with our families. We need help with our business. We need help with our money. We need help in our relationship. We need help. I need help. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the helper. And I'm telling you, it jumped off the page at me when I realized you're the helper. That's what you do. You are the helper. Now, God has his titles. He's God the Father. That's his primary attribute. Jesus is Savior and Lord. And I believe one of the primary attributes of the Holy Spirit is helper. And so all of a sudden, I would, in my life over the years, God help me. I've said it a gazillion times. Help me! But this last year, I've been saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to deal with situations in my life. Help me to deal with problems. Help me. And you know what? He's been helping me. I have felt a divine help come to me in things that I didn't understand or didn't know what to do or didn't know how to do. The Holy Spirit has helped me. And so my encouragement, and we're going to take a minute here in just another moment to just say, Holy Spirit, help me in this area, because I want the Holy Spirit to be your helper. I want you to understand that's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. He's our helper. And so I believe he'll help us with our finances, with the family, again, with infirmities, with struggles, with sorrow, with hurts, with forgiveness, with overcoming sin. He's our helper. Hallelujah. And so I encourage you to find him as your helper. I believe we need his anointing, the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, the signs and the wonders of the Holy. I believe it's the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit that cause people to cry out, God is with you. Let me tell you something, church. We shouldn't be afraid of the supernatural. I believe that God is still the healer. I believe he's the miracle worker. I don't know where it came from, but on Facebook, on some of the videos lately, they've been having some of the miracles from Catherine Kuhlman Crusades and William Branham and A.A. Allen. They had a meeting where they had Kenneth Hagin and a spirit of laughter and an anointing just broke loose. And I'm telling you, you can look at it on one hand and say, what in the world are they doing? But I'm also going to tell you, you can look at it and say, God, I'd like to be part of that. I want to be a part of that anointing. I believe we are people of faith, not fear. You know, some people are afraid of losing control. I already got news for you. We don't have any control. If you didn't learn that this last year, whatever you thought you was in control over, you didn't have control over it. Dean, we couldn't go. They won't sell me a ticket. I don't have any control over it. Some people fear emotions. But I want to tell you, emotions are essential for life. We shouldn't be afraid of emotions. Now, again, we don't want to go berserk, but I mean, emotions are essential for our life. I'm glad I can laugh. I'm glad I can cry. I'm glad I can show forth what God has done in me. A lot of people fear lack of order. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Revival is a season of glorious disorder." I love that. Listen, it wouldn't hurt us to have a little disorder sometimes, where God just comes in and messes stuff up, just does things exactly opposite of what you thought was going to happen. It's not always a bad thing. We need some glorious disorder. Now, I'm going to close today with telling you a couple of stories. I believe that in the anointing, I think that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do is lead us. The Bible says we're either led by our flesh or we're led by the Spirit, right? It really doesn't give a whole lot of other, it's one or the other. So I choose to be led by the Spirit. Now, I'm not always as good as I want to be, but that's my goal. And I pastor in the church in South Carolina, and I hadn't been there but about 3 or 4 months. And back in those days, some of you old timers, well, we actually had church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night prayer meeting, Thursday night men's meeting, and some other meeting. We had meetings all the time. I always turned out the lights, turned off the air conditioner, did all the stuff on Sunday night. And so I'm going home. It's late. We had prayed for some people at the church. And I get home, and Sharon is already in bed. And I go into the bedroom, and I'm getting ready for bed. And I'm about to crawl in the bed. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "They're having a meeting about you over at so-and-so's house to get rid of you as pastor." I said, "Huh. Really?" And then he said, "I want you to go over there." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I want to do that." So I got up, started getting dressed again. Sharon says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit just told me they're having a meeting about me over there, about to get rid of me, and told me to go see them." She said, "Do what?" I said, I can't explain it. I'm just telling you what he said. So I drove across town. And there's a bunch of cars in the driveway. Lights are on. I go knock on the door. Guy comes to the door. He is white as a sheet. He says, "Well, hey, Pastor, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me y'all were having a meeting about me." I said, "What are you doing here?" I thought he was going to pass out. And we walked inside, and all of a sudden, I said, Holy Spirit told me y'all were having a meeting to get rid of me." And one of the guys says, "Well, Pastor, I said, "Stop." I said, "Be very careful what you say next." I said, "Remember Ananias and Sapphira." I was in a bold stealth, Bill. I was like, let me tell you. I said, I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit told me. I think he was right. I believe him more than anything that y'all would say. And I looked at him and I said, "Y'all can't have a meeting to get rid of me." I said, "The Holy Spirit brought me here, and when he tells me it's time to leave, I'll leave. But until then, y'all don't ever have another meeting like this." "Yes, sir, Pastor." The fear of God had settled in. It helped me. For a lot of years there, towards the end, they forgot some of that. But I will tell you, for a lot of years, y'all don't want to do nothing because the pastor will come to the house. In the middle of the night, at midnight, he'll show up because the Holy Spirit talks to him. Yes, he does. I want to tell you one more story. A friend of mine was preaching at a youth conference, and he was up there preaching, there were about 500 people in this youth conference, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "I want you to go." There was a young lady out there with her head in her hands, and said, "I want you to go talk to her." And y'all don't understand this, but sometimes while we're preaching, I mean, sometimes we're having a communication with the Lord too. And so the Lord said, "I want you to go out there and talk to her." And he said, you do know I am preaching, don't you, right now?" Like the Lord didn't know. And he says, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go and said, "I want you to go talk to her." So he finally obeyed and stopped the meeting and said, "I need to go do something that the Holy Spirit's leading me to do." So he walked up to this young lady that was sitting on one of the seats. And as he goes, he felt like the Lord told him what to do. And he pulled out a $20 bill. And he said, "How much is this $20 bill worth?" And she said, "Well, $20. So then he took the $20 bill and he rolled it up into a little ball in his hand. He said, "Well, how much is it worth now?" She said, $20. And then he took it on the floor and stomped on it and mashed it and put dirt on it. He said, "Well, what's the value of the $20 now?" She said, "Well, it's worth $20. And so he took out his pen and he wrote on the bottom of the $20 bill, "Worth, value, and dignity." And he said, "I want you to know that no matter what has happened to you, that your worth and your value and your dignity is always the same to God. He created you and he made you into what you are. Do not let other people tell you what God has put into you." He went back and preached. 15 years later, he's preaching in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he's preaching at a conference, and a beautiful lady comes walking up to him, dressed out to the nines. And she says, "Do you recognize me?" And he said, "No, I don't recognize you." And she pulled out that $20 bill. And she said, "I was that young lady." And she said, "Now I am a medical doctor and I'm the head of pediatrics at the largest pediatric hospital in the Northeast." She said, "But because you obeyed God that day and did what you did, it helped me to know that my value and my worth and my dignity was found in the Lord." Sometimes a moment of obedience can bring about more things than we could ever do in all the other efforts of our life. And so what the Lord is expecting from us, I hope I'm conveying everything that's in my heart, but I'm telling you, God wants us to be worshipers, regardless of our circumstance. Listen, I've been enjoying having time to worship God. I didn't realize traveling 150,000 miles a year, how much that took. But listen, this last year I've had time just to worship the Lord. I believe that God has helped me to mend relationships, to help situations, to bring unity to certain things. And then I found out that if I'm going to be the church that God wants me to be, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be led by what He wants me to do, where He wants me to go, what He wants me to say. Not just be driven by things or by the past or anything else, but to be led by the Spirit. And I believe that when we do that, church, what God will do for us and with us is amazing. And so I'm encouraging you today to have those things available in your life. If we're going to be the church that God wants us to be a worshiper, be unified, and be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of us were filled at one time. We had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, I'm praying for that glory cloud to come again. I want the breath of the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us one more time and help us to do what He's called us to do and be what He's called us to be. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I want to do two quick things. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to ask you, I said it earlier that I wasn't going to put you on the spot, but I am a little bit. I'm just going to ask you, if in your situation where you are, whether it be family, whether it be some of the COVID issues, whether it be your business, but if you need some help today in some one of those areas, I just want you to raise your hand, would you? You need some help? Now I want you to raise your other hand, and I just want you to say, "Holy Spirit, help me." Would you say that? Just say it out loud. "Holy Spirit, help me. Help me in this situation. Help me in my circumstance. Help me in the things that I'm encountering. Help me because I need help. I'm not able to do it in my own strength. I'm not able to do it in my own power. I'm not able to do it with my ability. I need your help, Holy Spirit." I ask you right now, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, with our hands raised that you'd fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come upon us and not just help us, but I'm asking you, Lord, to guide us and direct us. Help us to be led by your Spirit as never before. Help us to be a people, God, who realize, God, that we can't know where to go, Lord, unless you direct us and direct our steps and help us to move into that. And so I pray for New Covenant Church, God. I pray today, God, Lord, that there would be a fresh leading of your Holy Spirit, a fresh desire, God, to say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Help me to know, Lord, who to talk to at the grocery store, who to talk to on the street, when to talk to my neighbor, when to do these things. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come, God. I pray for a fresh anointing. Let your anointing, Lord, just fall upon us. I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. I'm asking you in the only way I know how. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Flood this house, Lord, with a refreshing, Lord, of your Spirit and your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Let us be led by your Spirit. We honor you and we praise you and we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. I love you all. Thank you for letting me come and share. And I want to encourage you. I'll tell you, one of the things that you struggle with is conveying sometimes everything that's in your heart with words. Brother Charles used to always talk about, we don't just impart what we say, we impart what we are. I hope today you can catch the things. I want you to depend more on the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, next week, next month, than you have in a long time. I've had a few of those moments where, I mean, I was flying by the seat of my pants, buddy, but it was good because it was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I was moving. But then there's other times that I get analytical. I know y'all don't ever do that, but I think things out too much. And I'm like, well, what if this? What? Don't worry about all that. Trust the Holy Spirit and allow Him to be to you what He desires to be. Amen. God bless you. I love you, Bill.